This is the Unstoppable Authors Podcast with world-building warrior Angeline Trevina
and planning and productivity powerhouse Holly Line.
Every week we bring you discussions on the craft of writing, author life and business, and interviews with some of the industry's most unstoppable authors.
A writer's life doesn't have to be solitary. We're here to bust that myth, support you on your journey, and encourage you to be unstoppable.
Welcome to episode 99 of the Unstoppable Authors Podcast. And today we're talking about what to post in your newsletters and social media in between releases.
Indeed. And before we get into the main topic, let's get into our personal updates. So this week has been very full. Let's say that. I'm trying to avoid the B word. I haven't done any writing since last week, which is fine.
It's fine.
But I'm planning a big catch up on Saturday. The kids are going to be out all morning and
awesome.
Yeah, words have to happen. So I've had some more coaching with Ellie at the Write Better Faster Academy, which was really helpful and enlightening. And I have some really solid practical tips to put into action to help me focus on my short term word count goal and get me closer to hitting it, which is good because I've been so unfocused. I've been just distracted with all the things. So yeah, some focus would be nice.
I know that feeling.
Yeah. So speaking of shiny new objects, I have a new project that I'm working on, which I'm not quite ready to announce the full details of yet, but it's fiction and it's audio. And that's all I'm saying for now.
Ooh, very sneaky. Mm. Except I do know what it is.
Yeah, you
do. We have no secrets. So, yes, every single week when I come on here and moan that I'm still pushing my way through to the end of Sturgeard, I promise myself that next week I'll be saying that I've finished and it's now with my editor. Guess what? This week is not that week. I'm so sorry for the string of boring personal updates, but if you're bored by it, just imagine how I feel. So let's talk about something else, because I have actually started work on something else and I'm in that giddy new project place, you know, that like the start of a new relationship. Mm-hmm. It's all exciting and I want to be with it all the time.
Yeah.
Which probably isn't helping very much with my steady job progress, but let's not look at that too closely. So I'm writing my very first middle grade novel under a pen name, and honestly I'm having so much fun with it. So each day I write a chapter and then I read it to my eight-year-old at bedtime, and he tells me what he likes, he tells me what he didn't like, he suggests changes that I should make and tells me if there's anything in it that he didn't understand, and then I edit it. And then the next day I write another chapter to read to him. And it's just the best relationship. It feels like something really special that we're doing together. And it's so awesome that he's having such a big role in developing the story. Plus, honestly, kids are just the best beta readers because they do not worry at all about saying exactly what they think.
Yeah,
it's really good.
That's awesome. I'm quite envious of that. I've got no interest in writing for kids at all, but that's really lovely. I love that you've got that going on. It's great.
It is fab. Right, so let's move on to question of the week. And last week I asked you, how do you create your world maps? And Kelly says, I'm going to read out what she actually wrote because I liked it. She says, I scribble a squiggly border and make some random squiggly islands on a piece of paper and give them names. And that's just the most perfect answer. I love it because everyone gets so hung up on, oh, I've got to make a map that looks like the one in the front of the Lord of the Rings. And no, you haven't. Squiggly border, random squiggly islands, name them. That's all you need. Brilliant. I love it. And Gareth uses Incarnate, which is fantastic. I love that program. It's so good. But he has switched to using Photoshop for his latest work in progress because he needs to make a galaxy map, which sounds awesome. I want to see it when it's done. Sounds good.
Yeah. So this week we want to know which social media platform is your favourite.
Brilliant.
So, yeah. No new patrons this week, but a huge thank you to all of our current patrons. Your support means the world to us. Patrons get early access to episodes, exclusive behind-the-scenes access to our off-air banter, as well as the warm, fuzzy feeling of supporting the podcast. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so for just £3 a month at patreon.com/unstoppableauthors.
And it would be really great if you could take a moment to share this episode on social media. Grab a screenshot, share it directly from your podcast platform, or even take a selfie with it. Just remember to tag us so that we can share it too. It means so much to hear from our listeners and to know that you enjoy the show. So let's move on to our main topic today. Now, there is one phrase that strikes fear into the hearts of many, many people, and that phrase is icebreaker. And one of the worst ones is when you're asked to give 5 interesting facts about yourself, or maybe it's just 3, or even just 1 single fact, but the result is exactly the same. As you assess your existence in a panic, you come to the horrifying realization that you are, in fact, totally, utterly, and undeniably the most boring and uninteresting person that has ever walked the planet. You hunt through your history for famous people you have the vaguest connection to, or exciting things you did on holiday when you were a teenager. Does anyone care about your pets or the strange combination sandwiches you like, or how much coffee you swig in a day? And then there's the worry that people will think you're too weird or a show off, or that you're lying to make yourself sound better. So you start analyzing every fact you can think of and every possible reaction to it. And before you've finished, it's your turn and you panic and just blurt out what color underwear you have on. Now, the truth is that many of us think we're boring and that people won't be interested in our lives. But you know what? We're actually very, very wrong. People are interested because it's not their life, which, of course, is the most boring thing on the planet. Now, do you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think I get quite as analytical about these things as you're
describing. Maybe it's just me.
But yeah, whenever like there's like a, you know, a prompt on Instagram that's, you know, tell me something interesting about you, I freeze. I'm like,
yeah, it's horrendous. There is nothing interesting about me at all.
And I have like 3 or 4 things that I tend to recycle.
Keep in the bank.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, after a while, everyone's seen those. Everyone knows, so they're not interesting anymore. So you have to think of new ones. So, yeah.
Yeah, but it really is the case that everyone is thinking they're the most boring person ever, because it is kind of boring to us because it's every day to us. You know, if we have like an unusual hobby or a very strange habit that we don't mind admitting to, it's every day to us, so we don't think of it as necessarily being like a crazy interesting, ooh, look how fascinating I am kind of fact. But to other people, actually it is, because it is different and it is something new to them. So don't be scared that you're going to bore people. People are actually more interested in you than you think they are.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Yeah. So this big preamble is all to say that, you know, if you are looking for things to share with your audience, it's your life. So we're going to talk about some of the sort of general types of content you can produce. And give you some ideas, and yeah, hopefully this will be useful. Maybe grab a notebook and write down some of these ideas so that then next time you're creating a post for social media and you can't think of anything, ta-da, you have a list to refer back to. Okay, do you want to kick us off, Anjali?
So sort of one area that you can focus on is like progress reports.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that my personal update has been the same for about 8 years now. But actually, if you are actually making progress, I don't feel like I am. People do like progress reports and to know how the book is coming along. And it keeps your mailing list subscribers and your followers on social media. It keeps the knowledge that that book is coming out soon in their mind, which mm-hmm. is a good thing. So, for example, you might want to include like snippets and excerpts. Obviously, don't put massive spoilers on social media. If you've got a big twist ending, don't spoil it. But yeah, you can put funny dialogue things or, you know, snarky things that your characters have said. People love that.
Mm-hmm.
Word count milestones. I share a lot of word count milestones.
That's quite a good thing for like Instagram stories, I think, because that's, yeah, you know, it updates every day. So, you know, you could make it a bit of a trend, something that you do, like at the end of each day, you post your word count. And I mean, if you want, if you're comfortable sharing that, yeah, obviously. That's like the great big caveat for this entire episode is if you're comfortable with that.
Yes, absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, and like sharing like your favorite line that you wrote that day, or
the last line that you wrote, or the first line that you wrote, yeah, things like that.
Yeah, and that can really just help to get people invested and excited about what you're writing.
Absolutely, you know, put like tease things in. Don't post spoilers.
No. Yeah. But,
yeah, if you introduce like a new character, you can post about them on social media. If you take your characters to a brand new location, I know when I write a series, I often extend my map for each new book, or we go to a different place on the map. So you can talk about that. And of course, the best moment is when you can type the end at the end of your manuscript and post that on social media. I can't wait because I do actually do this. And a lot of writers do. I see this a lot. You actually type the words "the end" into your manuscript, take a photo for social media, and then delete it again.
Yeah,
leave it there. but you know, it is a really good thing to post on social media. And actually, whenever I do post the end, I get a massive spike in engagement on that post. People really like seeing the accomplishment. I can't wait.
One of my favorite things I think I've ever seen on social media is when Sasha Black finally finished Side Characters, and she literally fell on the floor like gasping for breath because she couldn't believe she'd finally done it because it took so long. And she posted like a little video, like a boomerang, I think, of herself falling over, and it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. It's great. So yeah, if you do anything spontaneous, don't just copy Sasha Black, that would be weird. But you know, if there's anything, you know, spontaneous that happens when you get to the end of a book, a little like celebration, you know, share that with
you've actually given me a good idea. When I finish writing Steadyard and send it to my editor, I'm going to post a picture of the biggest cake. I'm going to go out and sod the diet. I am going to buy like the biggest piece of cake I can possibly find, and that's what I'll be posting on social media.
There you go. I want it to be a video of you shoving it into your face, not just a picture of the cake.
What about like, you know, like one of those smash the cake,
yes,
kind of things? I might not do it out in a cafe then.
No.
maybe I'll order in some cake and just do it at home.
Brilliant idea.
Yeah. We're on. Right, look out for that on my social media.
By the end of the month, Angeline, maybe?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay. So that's your progress report type of content. There's also a whole lot of related content that you can share. So we're talking about things like deleted scenes, and these are great for sharing, like, mm-hmm. with your mailing list, or if you have a Patreon, you know, that kind of extra content that no one else is going to get to see. Yeah. People really, really like that. So yeah, or like, you know, sort of alternate universe type stuff, you know, if you do any, like, we talk sometimes about ways of getting unstuck, of like doing a bit of free writing. You can, if you're comfortable with it, share that free writing as well as like bonus material.
Yeah, because I know one thing that some authors do when they reach sort of like a fork in the road of their story, and their character has to make a decision and they're not quite sure, they write both options. You know, they'll write a scene where the character decides one thing, and they'll also write the same scene when the character decides the other thing, so that they can figure out which one the character does. And that would be a fantastic thing to share for subscribers.
Yeah, definitely. And so also things like outtakes and mistakes that you spotted in editing. I have something that I'm totally going to share. In the fourth book in my series, there's a mistake, and I kind of want to run like a little ad campaign or something that's like, if you find the mistake, email me and I'll send you a signed copy of another book or something. But yeah, you can like share those things with your readers, like little sort of insights, you know, into things that went wrong.
Yeah, because some typos make it really funny, you know, like sometimes a completely innocent word ends up as being something quite rude.
Absolutely. Yeah. You might have things like character profiles, or, you know, character interviews or diary entries, anything that you've done in developing that character. So you can share all those kinds of things, and they make quite good like social media posts. And things like mood boards. So that's a big thing, like on Instagram, is creating these sort of aesthetics for your
work. And Pinterest is massive for this, because literally on Pinterest you can create a mood board. And I know a lot of authors do that. They create a new pin board for a single book or a single series, and they just fill it with like pictures that inspire them and make them think of that book. And that's quite a good, big thing on Pinterest.
Yeah, I have a mood board like that for one of my series, but it's set to secret, it's just for me. But yeah, you can share those with people as well. Soundtracks, the music that you listen to while you're writing, any music that inspires a character or a mood or a type of scene that you're writing. I went through a phase of sharing every day, sharing a song for my playlist on my Instagram stories. Actually I'm gonna start doing again, because I enjoyed doing that.
Because quite often writers create a soundtrack for a specific book. You know, I have a general writing playlist. I also have a separate playlist for writing love scenes, which I very rarely do. Every now and again I do, and I definitely need help with that. But yeah, people do create soundtracks for specific books, and if you make, you know, if you have a public soundtrack on Spotify, you can actually share the link to your playlist for that particular book, so, you know, people can read your book while listening to the playlist that you listen to when you were writing it.
Yep, absolutely. And that could be something you put in the back of a book, potentially in the back matter, a link to that playlist as well. It's never occurred to me before.
Yeah, because you could put a QR code in the paperback as well.
Yeah. Ideas. Excellent. So you could also share any inspiration for the story or the characters or locations, things like, you know, if you ever do any like location scouting, like going out to places and taking photos, you can share those. Well, maps, Angeline, that's definitely more your arena, but yeah.
Yep. Go share your world maps. And if you like, what I'm thinking of doing is having some of my maps that I've made myself read redone by somebody who's excellent at it. So that would be really nice to share alongside each other, like my amateur version and then a version done by a professional person who's actually artistic.
And that as well as things like character art, you can use as merch as well, like as an extra stream of income or as part of a launch giveaway, or, you know,
just check the contract that you have with your illustrator or artist. Just make sure that they're happy that you have the rights to do that, because it's a very different thing putting a piece of artwork in a book when that's what it was created for and then selling it as a poster. Those are very, very different things. So please just check that you have the rights to do that.
Yes, absolutely. You can also create quizzes. So things like, which character are you most like? You know, like all the things you used to get in magazines, like which Friends character are you most like and stuff like that. Which magic power you would want, which location would you live in, all that kind of thing. And obviously, you know, on like social media, you have these inbuilt options to create polls, which make it really easy for people to just click and vote. And people love doing that. People love to have their say and click a button.
I love clicking buttons.
Yeah. It's a really good way to drive engagement on your posts as well, which boosts your visibility and all of that good stuff.
Yes. So another section you can think about is behind the scenes. So you can share, like, what are you reading at the moment? And that might be nonfiction, it might be research for your book, or it might just be what are you enjoying reading fiction wise at the moment. You know, give some book recommendations. And yeah, absolutely, you can share your research. We all know how much research I do. That would be a very, very empty social media if I was sharing my research. But like, if you write particularly historical novels, so much fascinating research. And I see a lot of authors sharing things like that. And it's it is really interesting. And remember that if you're writing in a particular historical period and you're interested in that period, say like ancient Egypt, so are your readers. They're fascinated in that period. That's why they like reading books in that period. So they're going to love to see your research.
Yeah.
Really
and
cool.
That is going to make really good blog content if you want to be a blogger as well. Then research is a fantastic one. And it, you know, you don't have to be writing historical. If you write anything that draws on folklore or myths, you know, which I do, when I used to blog, I used to write a lot of blog posts on the myths and legends that were inspiring my writing. So yeah, and in my newsletters, I have a little section. It's what I'm currently reading and currently listening to. And I'm just starting to experiment with putting links in there. I haven't been putting links because I didn't want to put too many links in my emails for reasons that are a whole other podcast episode. But I've just started, I'm gonna see what happens with that. But yeah, I think that's, you know, I'm enjoying that, and I get reactions, I get replies from readers thanking me for the recommendations, or saying, you know, that they've read that too, or they've listened to it as well, and that's really nice to get that rapport going. So
yeah, that's really cool. I might steal that. You can post photos of your desk, or you, if you write out and about, like your favorite cafe that you go to write at, or you, maybe you write at your local library. People love photos of desks. I always get lots of engagement when I post photos of my desk. And of course, the other one that really gets a lot of engagement is your writing buddies, whether these are human writing buddies, animals, or even soft toys. Yeah, people love that. But yeah, take a photo of a cat on a desk and you're made.
you will get the best engagement of your life on that post.
Yes.
That's a guarantee. I am willing to guarantee that.
I me too. I can tell you now, my social media followers like my cat a lot more than they like me.
You have, like, you know, people who create Instagram accounts for their pets. Like, I mean, it's a big thing. It's a really big thing.
Yeah. Live or virtual events that you're attending, put them up as well, even if they're only slightly related, you know, like if you go to a Comic-Con or if you go to somewhere where people are dressed up in cosplay, you know, that will get a lot of engagement. People like that. The other internet favorite, of course, writing snacks and beverages.
When you said about your desk, I nearly said it's not your desk, it's the cakes.
I can tell you now, right? When I post a photo, because most of my Instagram is photos of a cup of coffee and my computer on my desk. If I add a cake to it, I'll double my likes on that post. Every time.
Yeah.
Love cake. But
if
yeah,
you can get a cat in there as well, then
if you can get a cat, you'll
go viral.
Viral. Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. But people love photos of food. The internet is a strange place. And pretty mugs, you know. I don't think it's any secret that I'm a bit of a mug collector, and I can actually list my top 5 mugs for Instagram engagement. I specifically choose, if I want a post to go get good engagement, I specifically choose particular mugs because I know that they get more engagement than other mugs.
This is so funny.
It's a true thing. Other things you can share is like your writing uniform, you know, what you wear to write. Some people like to write in their pajamas. Some people like to treat writing like an absolute strict day job, so they actually dress up in like corporate gear. Yeah, there are strange people who do that. You know, whatever works for you. Writing rituals. I love writing rituals. I'm not going to wear corporate wear. But it works for some people, which is awesome. And yeah, go and visit locations from your books or that have inspired locations in your books and take lots of photos of those as well.
Mm-hmm. So as we have alluded to in some of the behind the scenes stuff, snippets of real life are incredibly popular. I would say that's probably what people are most interested in. I think they like to know that an author is a real person. And
always.
Yeah, that we're relatable, that we're just like them, you know.
You know, actually, on that point, my husband laughs at me for this, because whenever I leave the house, no matter where I go, I'm like, I have to take a photo and put it on Instagram so that people know I actually leave the house sometimes.
Yeah, we have to reassure people that we're, you know, we're looking after ourselves, we're healthy, and you know. So yeah, if you take a day off, share
What's
something
that? About that. I don't know what a day off is.
No.
What does that look like?
I took one on Sunday. It was great. It was really, really good.
Awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, talk about self-care. I think it's so important that we do that regularly. And especially if you have quite a large following of other authors, I think it's really helpful to talk to them about self-care, which obviously I think we've done 3 episodes now on self-care.
We probably have.
It's an important subject, right? And there's some good, you know, good visual stuff to be found in there. Like obviously, like, don't go to loads of effort, but you know, like Huggy is, you know, obviously a big thing, and so showing that and talking about that is, you know, is important for everybody. And also it makes you relatable to show the unglamorous side of life as a writer, and to take some of the mystery out of it, I think, and share that, which, you know, we have struggles, we have, you know, bad hair days, and
that's every day for me.
I mean, some people want to present a very polished, like almost influencer persona on social media, which is fine. If that's what you want to do, that's absolutely fine. That isn't for all of us. And I think it can be really helpful to connect with readers.
But that is an important point, that it depends on your brand. If your brand is all about being very polished and very professional and putting across that sort of image, then perhaps the unglamorous side of it isn't for you. But, you know, it might be a fantastic post to sort of step out of what everyone's expecting from you now and again.
Yeah, or to share with your inner circle, share that kind of thing with your subscribers or your patrons or your review team or something, you know, in that sort of relationship building scenario. If you have like visits to bookshops and libraries, obviously you're trying to communicate with readers. So anything to do with books, book stacks are like the thing on Instagram. Share book stacks. People love to look at books.
It's true.
Yeah. If you go out to museums or galleries or historical buildings, all that kind of thing, then obviously take photos, share them. And on, you know, back on the subject of books, shelfies. Love your bookcase. or go on camera with one right behind you like I do. That's a big thing.
I just want to point out for everyone listening to this that when Holly mentioned bookshelf, she actually leant sideways so that we could see her bookshelf and pointed at it, which of course none of you can actually see. But that was for my benefit. So I appreciate that, Holly.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I feel special. Now, we've already talked about some of these, but honestly, my experience, particularly on Instagram, Pinterest, of course, is very much the same. And I do notice it also on Facebook. These are the things that get very, very high engagement. Photos of your pets. Seriously, every time I post pictures of cats, it's right up there, because the internet, as we all know, was made for cats. Photos of your kids. Now, I just want to say, decide how much you want to share on social media. Some people say absolutely not my children at all. My rule is I do not name my children publicly. I do not post their faces at all, but I will post photos of, like, if we're in a big field or a forest or something and they're running off ahead and you're just seeing the backs of them, I will post that. So where you can't recognize them, I'll post pictures of their hands holding books or food. I'll post pictures of their feet or their shoes. That's where my sort of barrier lies. That's something I've decided for myself and for the safety of my children. Your barrier, you have to decide where it is. I know a lot of people who very openly post pictures of their children, and that's absolutely fine. That's their decision. So yeah, make your decision, choose where your barrier lies. But yeah, people love when I post photos of my kids. They love it. Photos of food and drink, of course. Photos of socks. Now, this is a really, really fun that I have discovered over on Instagram. People love pictures of socks. it's crazy, but they do. Take photos of your socked feet next to a coffee and a book. And yeah, high engagement. They love it.
I'm just going to jump in because my best post, actually having guaranteed that, you know, a cat and a cake would be, my best post on Instagram ever, and this relates back to real life, is when I was in hospital, when my appendix went, and I posted a picture of my legs with the very sexy DVT socks on. That is my highest, like, my most liked post.
Yeah. Well, one of my most liked, not my actual most liked, but one of my most liked is a photo of me wearing Friends socks, you know, from the sitcom Friends. It's looking down at them on the floor with a cup of coffee, and I think there's a book in there, maybe, I don't know. But that's one of my top posts ever. Everyone loved those Friends socks, so yeah, every now and again they crop up in another photo. Really, by accident, of course.
Not by design at all.
And of course, pretty flat lays. Now, if you don't know what a flat lay is, that is when you take the photo directly from above. So it's like a bird's eye view. I actually have a whole arm, you know, like the arm that you get to hold a microphone. I have one of those set up on my desk for taking flat lay photos.
Mm-hmm. I've got like, it's like a clamp for my phone, and it's got a ring light as well included, so Ooh. You can get the lighting.
Yeah, yours is even posher than mine. But yeah, the internet loves pretty flat lays. I spend quite a lot of time looking for props to go in my flat lays, like interesting little ornaments and stuff.
Yeah, this is why I got into pins and badges, for accessories for flat lays, because I do bullet journaling, and I have a separate Instagram account for my bullet journal, so I was taking it quite seriously at one point, and you know, getting quite creative with my flat lays. So yeah, I have a whole, like, right next to my desk, I have a little sort of caddy thing that's full of props. So yeah, that's a big thing.
It is.
Yeah. And so if you can do that with books, like books and notebooks and stationery.
Yeah.
You know, book lovers are going to love that.
And of course, see if you can get a drink, a piece of cake, and a cat in it as well. You're sorted.
Yeah.
And some socks. Just cram it all in there.
Yeah. Okay. So if you're still stuck for content, grab a calendar. Awareness days are a fantastic way to create content. And obviously you do a lot of this, Angeline.
I am obsessed with awareness days.
Yeah.
Every month I have saved on my computer a social media calendar that I've created for myself, and I write all of the awareness days that are relevant. Like, some of them are relevant to something in my book, some of them are writing relevant, some of them are food, strangely enough. You know, I always know when it's like cupcake day or like carrot cake day. So unexpected. But I am obsessed with awareness days, and they do make for fantastic social media content.
Mm-hmm. Also, any like challenges? Again, Instagram, this is a big thing. People will put together a challenge where they have a series of prompts for each day of the month, and if you're interested in doing those, I recommend following Bex Drait on Instagram, because she collates them at the end of every month. She grabs all of the challenges that are related to writing and books for the coming month and puts them in a single post. So that's extremely useful. And that's quite a good way to connect with other people as well, because anyone who's doing the challenge will be using the hashtags, so you can find other people with similar interests.
And it's a whole month where you don't have to think up what to post on social media.
Yeah. You can also go for things like book birthdays. So, you know, if it's the anniversary of a launch, then celebrate it and share a picture of your book. Ta-da!
Yay.
And A to Zs. A to Zs are great. And, you know, pick like, I don't know, like A to Z of horror books if you're a horror writer. And, you know, there you go. You've got ready-made. I mean, you have to think of what books fit with which letter, but
yes, you know. But that, again, that's almost a month of content.
Yeah. A to Z of cakes.
Oh, heck yes.
Yeah. Something that Julia Scott and I have done, and she does them regularly, is like song challenges as well for Instagram stories. So it doesn't always have to be, you know, related to your books. It can be just to do with your life as well. So yeah, it's that sharing a part of yourself, things that you're interested in. And top tens are great. And that can be in a single post or spread out over 10 posts. And again, that's maybe something quite good for blog content or a newsletter, is to have a top 10. People love lists.
They do. Yeah, it's it makes for a good newsletter subject line, because honestly, the hardest bit about writing newsletters is coming up with a subject line that will encourage people to open it. But yeah, top 10, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, top 10 places to buy cake.
My biggest complaint about MailerLite is that you have to put your subject line in before you've written the email. And I'm like,
How
do you do that? But the thing is, the one time I put in a, because you can't leave it blank, you have to put something. The one time I put test. Yeah. In the subject line, I forgot to change it, and that email went out with test. Yeah. As the subject
line. I tend to put in capitals, needs a title, and then I come back to it at the end. That's because we're unorganized and we don't set out what we're gonna write in our newsletters.
We discovery write our newsletters as well as our books. That's what it is.
Like, I discovery write life. Yeah. So obviously, all of this social media content is fantastic stuff, but it so often feels on social media and newsletters sometimes as well, like you're just shouting into the void, which is a lonely place to be. So how do you get engagement? How do you make sure that your newsletters and your social media posts actually get engagement, people liking, commenting? Ask direct questions. This is like the most obvious thing. Just at the end of your social media post or in your newsletter, ask a direct question, but try to make it an open question, not a closed question. So a closed question is something that can be answered by just yes or no. Like, do you like reading horror? Yes, no, that's a closed question. Whereas, what are your favorite horror novels? Is an open question because it can't be answered with just yes or no. So try to go for open questions rather than closed questions.
Yeah. And as a follow-up to that, on your social media, stick around after you post, and at least the first few replies that come through, reply to them with another question.
Yes.
Because it gets them to come back again and leave another comment. And the more comments you have on your posts, the more reach they will get.
Yes, that's an excellent tip. That's definitely something that I do. So you've asked people what horror novels they like, someone responds, you then ask them, what did you like about that? Or have you read any other by that author?
Mm-hmm.
You know, straight up, they come back and they comment again.
Yeah.
Do surveys. Again, social media is perfectly set up for this. You can do surveys really easily in a post. On Facebook, on Instagram, you can do it in your stories. We both use MailerLite, and you can put a survey block straight into your MailerLite newsletter as well. Mm-hmm. And the same with quizzes as well. Run it as a quiz, you know, and you can do competitions and giveaways as well. So you see it a lot on social media, like this post, leave a comment, tag three friends. You know, it all helps with the reach of that post.
Mm-hmm.
And content marketing, we've obviously, all of what we've been talking about is content marketing. But just remember, so if you write fantasy, you probably read a lot of fantasy. You probably watch fantasy stuff on TV. You probably like t-shirts with fantasy characters on it. You probably like fantasy artwork. Lo and behold, so do your readers. If they're reading fantasy, they also like all that stuff as well. So talk about that stuff. Talk about the books you're reading, the things you're watching on TV, the events that you're going to, show them the new clothing that you've bought, because they love that stuff as well. And ask them to share what they're wearing as well, or what they're watching. And again, get that engagement going. Social media, I think, even though it's in the name, the word social, use that as a clue. So many people forget to engage back again. They just put up a post. They're like, I want to get engagement on this. They just put it up and then they forget about it. You have to talk back to people. You have to keep coming back and keep up to date with it. And yes, it can be a lot of work, but you know, that's about time management.
Yeah. And I think going and engaging with other people is a big factor as well, because the more you go and comment on other people's posts, the more likely they are to reciprocate and come to your account and come and comment on your
and
post.
Sharing other people's posts as well, because again, right, if you write fantasy and read fantasy and your readers like it, if you share books by other fantasy authors, like share their posts, your readers are going to enjoy that as well.
Yeah.
And it's not about, oh, but I'm sharing the competition. There are enough readers out there for us all, I promise.
Yeah. Other authors are not your competition.
No.
Because readers can read a lot more quickly than we can write a book. So,
unfortunately, yes.
Readers will read all the books and there will never be enough books to satisfy them. So, yeah, I did just want to add to the thing about surveys as well, is that surveying your mailing list, you know, once a year or also is a really good idea. So you can do that, as Angeline said, within MailerLite. They actually have a survey block now, but you can use, you know, something like SurveyMonkey or Google Forms.
Google Forms is really easy, isn't it?
If you have more questions and want to have questions with different formats, like you have some that are multiple choice, some that are like a free form field for people to write their own text into, it's a good idea to get to know your readers that way and figure out what they're buying, what they're enjoying, what kind of content from you they like the most, you know, just ask them.
Yeah. And also, like,
they're wondering.
Ask them how they read and buy their books as well. Every single year I survey my mailing list and I always ask them if they have a Kindle Unlimited subscription. And I love seeing that very few of my readers do. And it just validates the fact that I'm wide with my books. And I'm every year I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's something to do. And then, so you have, in terms of content, you have the email in which you say, hey, I've got a survey, go do it. And then after a month or whatever, you can, if you want to, share some of the results, which I quite often do. I'll thank people for participating. And then I'll say the results were really interesting. I love that most of you, read this kind of thing. You know, I'll share the general gist of some of the results. Some of it is just for me, but some of it is stuff that I'm happy to share as well. So again, that's more content. So
absolutely. And that brings us to the end of our topic for today. Mm-hmm. Now, I haven't done a silly would you rather question for you today. I was thinking about this topic and I came up with an interesting conundrum. So it's actually a serious would you rather today. Mm-hmm. So would you rather have just a mailing list and absolutely no social media at all, none, or would you rather have social media but no mailing list?
Mailing list and no social media.
It's a really hard one, because I mean, I would always fall down on the side of yes, keep your mailing list rather than social media, because it's ownership, it's something you own. You know, Facebook could shut down tomorrow and you lose all of those people, but I would lose so much by losing social media because the two go so closely hand in hand. You know, just to never ever be able to post about your books on social media.
Yeah, I mean, I would miss it as a user, but my business wouldn't miss it.
Mine would. Mm. I know for a fact that my business would definitely miss it. Because it's no social media advertising either.
Mm.
You know,
I can't do any of that. Facebook has decided it doesn't like
me. Oh, Facebook.
I can't advertise on Facebook or Instagram anyway, so it's like a closed door.
But yeah, I do very well with Instagram ads. And it would be I absolutely would always fall down on the side. If I had to choose, it would always be the mailing list, because you own it. But I would really suffer from not having social media. Really would. But it's an interesting conundrum. Let us know on social media which is more important to you, your mailing list or your social media. Because it totally depends on strategy.
It does. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting thought.
Yeah. So The astute among you will have noticed that this is episode 99, mm-hmm. which means that our next episode is the big one.
Yay!
Tune in next week for our very special 100th episode of Unstoppable Authors. We're going to have several of our previous guests back to talk to us again, and we cannot wait to share that with you.
It is going to be so much fun. It's going to be like a massive party.
Yes, it is.
And we have cake.
Oh, let's have cake. I think cake and booze. Let's make it a real party.
Okay, yeah, that's definitely going to be a party. So yeah, you don't want to miss next week's episode. Come back, find out which guests we've got back. And I'm so excited. It's going to be amazing.
Yep.
And just a reminder of our question of the week, which social media platform is your favourite?
Yeah, and answer our would you rather question as well.
Yes.
Because I want to know. So also please remember that if you want to hear all of the backstage stuff and get all of the other benefits, you can join us over at patreon.com/unstoppable authors.
And don't forget to share the podcast online and tag us on social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Just search for Unstoppable Authors. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Unstoppable Authors podcast. We'll be back next week with more of our tenacity and worldly wisdom.
Don't forget to visit our website to get the show notes and heaps of helpful blog articles at unstoppableauthors.com.
And join our Guild of Unstoppable Authors, and you will not only hear from us every week, but you will also get a free digital copy of my book, 30 Days of World Building.
If you enjoyed the episode, please remember to subscribe and leave a review.
Just churning out books over here. just writing my book that's taking 8 million years to finish. I love it. I love Rating Steadyard. It's a wonderful book. It's 8 million years long. 8 million years in the making. It's gonna be fucking awesome. You know, it's taken me so long.